to Everything Talk.
Everything Talk.
Share your live views on the...
This is Sunny Side on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Okay, 95.1 Nigeria Info is the dial. Thanks for joining us on this side of the sunny side. And on our major discussion today, just like we had mentioned to you, we'll be talking about lessons to be learned regarding the Russia-Ukrainian crisis, which has bedeviled those nations and affecting other nations that have their citizens there. Whether they have citizens there or not, definitely when one country is in trouble, it would also affect the other country, especially as regards export and import, importation of goods, as the case may be. But on a recent report, today is the first day of March, and we can recall that the federal government had promised that from today, they would begin the evacuation of about 2,000 Nigerians who have fled the war in Ukraine to neighboring countries. And the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Geoffrey Onyama, had disclosed in an interview on Channel Television that the President, Muhammadu Buhari, has had approved funds for the airlines to evacuate Nigerians. And we got to know that Max Air and Air Peace would be doing the evacuation, hopefully, today, right? So we await more information on the evacuation process so far. But Geoffrey Onyama said that there were about 8,000 Nigerians in Ukraine, 5,000 of whom were students. And he added that the federal government had tipped Air Peace and Air Max to airlift the Nigerians who, you know, wanted to be evacuated. Now, for a couple of people who have been on this matter, who have read reports and issues on the developments going on in Ukraine, have had need to question that, would all Nigerians be ready to leave? And we've actually got to hear some reports that there are some who said no, they prefer to stay there, we die here, we would fight with Ukraine. Some believing that in the end, since NATO and other the European other world powers will be ready to do the fighting, there is belief that Ukraine will come out winners or successful, victorious in whatever war it is, and they believe that if they are to stand with Ukraine and do the fighting, they would have a place as citizens of Ukraine at the end of the day. Okay, so this being said, yeah, it brings us to what we are talking about today. But let me link up our discussion to something I had referred to. We had reports that, according to Sky's Twitter, we had reports that one Osaru man, a father of three and a Nigerian national, said he and his family were asked to give up their seats on a cross-border bus out of Ukraine with a driver and military officers, using the phrase "no blacks" as justification. Now, the current chair of the African Union, a Senegalese president, Macky Sall, and African Union Commission head, Moussa Faki Mahamat, said on Monday that they were particularly disturbed by reports that African citizens on the Ukrainian side of the border are being refused the right to cross the border to safety. Now, these and so much more reports are coming, you know, are being dished out to us. Whether we like it or not, the internet is there to reveal some of these anomalies, you know, going on over there in Ukraine and the hinterland. And just like Swat mentioned, that some of these things happened in Poland as well, you know, and adjoining countries where people are expected to cross over to. Now, can we bring it back to home and find out what lessons we have learned? That just like who sang that song, nice, this skeleton dance, Wolitamos, wherever you go, remember the road that leads you home. Mm. Whether you like it or not, you are Nigerian, and in most cases, you find yourself in war-torn communities, or countries, and what you have in your mind is how to stay alive. And a lot of people would prefer to remember home, remember their parents, and others would even thank God that war is going on there with the hope of getting to migrate into a better country than where they were before, you know. But in all of this, can we, would we be taken unawares subsequently? Is it possible to learn lessons today from what we are seeing now? Would we always be in a situation of, I have no option, we would die here if rescue doesn't come? Aside the federal government coming to the rescue, sending various airlines to go rescue citizens of Nigeria in Ukraine, would there not have been a possibility of citizens over there to have perceived that, okay, danger is on the way, let us do something for ourselves? Though, with the reports we get here and there, we've got to realize that before now, even the embassy over there in Kiev sent out reports that everything was normal, there was no, you know, need to be worried, people should, you know, be calm. But don't you think that with antecedents of whatever has gone on before now in that area, people should have known that there is a possibility of
I don't know if I can say yes or no. You perceive, of course, trouble is in the air because severally, of course, there was speculation, analysis here and there about the body language of Russia. And Putin didn't hide the fact that this is what he's all about, you know, against Ukraine and the NATO thing and anybody coming to have their military base, you know, are just at the backyard of Russia when they do not have any sort of affiliation or they're not allied, then, you know, it's definitely going to go very, very badly for Ukraine. He did not mince words in saying that. And it's been ongoing. But you would want to think that because of diplomacy, that is a tool, negotiation, and a whole lot of other tools that we have in terms of conflict that arises, because it's only natural for countries, two sovereign nations, to have conflicts here and there. You would think that this avenues will be explored, just like we heard yesterday about, you know, the parties meeting for peace talk and a possible ceasefire. So nobody would want to think that, okay, it will wake up to a war, even though Putin had already put it out there that this is his own body language and this is what he intends to do, he'll invade. So maybe for some, they would know for sure that. But because, I mean, when you take a look at, I don't want to tell you that I'm so very versed in knowing the, you know, let me say, when was the last time Russia was in a war or something? I mean, we know who their allies do and stuff like that. But I'm sure a lot of people just think that, okay, this is just an impasse that happens from time to time. And so it will be sorted out. So running away from the country,
where, the essence? You know? Like some of the students were saying that they would soon graduate and they wouldn't want to leave. They want to hold on to hope.
They want instability.
That, okay, they stayed for so many years and they are just close to graduation and they have to be airlifted and they will start to start afresh again all of a sudden. But I'd rather stay alive and, you know, pray for hope for tomorrow than stay in the name of hanging or holding on to what I've gotten before and lose my life.
If there's a war, how do you even score? If there's a war, how do you even, you know, nothing else matters. It's just survival that comes to the fore. And that's what we're seeing happening right now. It's a good thing, though, that the government, even though many people have said this is quite belated, because of the standpoint of both countries over time and the statements being issued and the tension building, we saw how different countries from all around the world issuing warnings, asking their citizens to evacuate or get themselves out of that place because, you know, the permutations were actually building up and we, I mean, from all the analysis here and there, you know, and international politicking and all of that, a whole lot of people actually predicted that this is how it may most likely end. So countries took a cue because of the stance of Putin and Russia to say, well, let's evacuate, let's warn our citizens, avoid this country, leave as much as you can. We didn't get to hear such coming in from Nigeria. Right now, it's already a full-fledged thing, and well, a lot of people say better late than never, but the truth is we can say could have, would have, but it's already there. So right now is let's see how much of the damage we can save Nigerians from, you know, I mean, the loss of lives and whatever damages that would accrue to Nigerians. Let's see how we can salvage the little we have left that we can, you know, before it gets any worse.
Now, there's another angle to it that I would wish to explore, and it's the fact that we seem to only hear the part, the side of Ukraine and not the side of Russia. Given that most Russian media have been silenced so far, we got to hear in the news that Facebook and TikTok had to remove Russian media or so from its space. We have this report here. Russian news outlet Open Media said on Thursday it was shutting down after the communication watchdog blocked its website from most users and included it on at least internet pages engaging in extremist activity. And it now means that we may not get to hear reports from the angle of Russia, but from the angle of Ukraine. And I do not see how balanced we'll be getting reportage in this regard. Whether Russia be winning or Ukraine be winning, as the case may be, we'll be getting majorly from one side of the divide. And I do not see how fair that would be in whatever warring information we will be getting as a people. And it may affect whatever countries that would want to, you know, either support a particular side of the divide or not. And that is why African countries that are helpless in this regard, we need to tread with caution regarding which of the countries they would want to support, as the case may be. So we don't go fighting a fight that at the end of the day we may not be able to get ourselves out of. Because if Russia should release a nuclear weapon, definitely, no matter how it is, it may get to reach Nigeria.
To that point. You study the dynamics of it. I think, you know, the sanctions are coming in. We know who are the allies to Ukraine, and it seems it's tilted more in favor, you know, in terms of people who are supporting this. But then also you cannot undermine the likes of China and, you know, the other countries that are also on the side of Russia. For me, though, if you ask me, all of this, I just hope it actually gets to that point where some sort of diplomacy is put into it, peace talks and then a ceasefire. And let's see how that can, you know, bring about peace. Because at the end of the day, you don't want war. Cutting off Russia from the media, it doesn't mean that total media, there's going to be a total media blackout. You have very universal, you know, media bodies too that will be going there or be at the hazard of this reporting. Yeah. So you don't have to say, okay, Russian media and all of that. Everybody knows what the stand of Russia is and Ukraine right now as it is. But new developments keep coming up on the scene, and definitely, you know, that is not something that I think is going to be hitting from everybody. But then, I think we'll take a break. And then after the break, we get to open up the lines and put out the question.
Yes, sure.
All right, stay with us.
In this war against Russia, it's been trending on social media. So what do you think we would learn as a people? We heard of the robbery that occurred in what is it called? That in is it Delta State now?
Edo.
And we could hear of our army soldiers who, you know, kind of dived and hiding themselves because there was no backup, you know, coming early enough to help them. So is there anything for our security apparatus to learn in this regard? We are also grappling with insurgency in the nation at present. So what's happening outside of Nigeria should be teaching us a lesson regarding whatever may want to raise its ugly head in future. So do we have any lesson to learn? Is there any reason for us to plan for eventuality in time to come based on whatever has gone on in Ukraine at present? Call us 0700 951 0000, or you send WhatsApp messages or to 080-999-301-37. Let's talk.
All right, so that's the number of the call. Let's see, somebody's on the WhatsApp call.
Hello,
we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Ben. Are the phone lines back?
Yes, they are back.
Okay, I guess I will later call on the phone line. But for now, concerning Russia and Ukraine, nobody would want his neighbor to be at war with him. I know Ukraine is a... Why would a neighboring country join NATO? And why is NATO still in existence when there is no USSR, there is no Soviet Union? And for America, given all the sanctions, I think they should check where their gas is coming from.
Mm.
Russia is a very big part of the gas supply in America. So all these sanctions, Russia has not said anything about it. For me, I think NATO should reject Ukraine from joining them. Then the whole world comes together and talk to Russia about, I think they said they always come to their land to do one or two things. They should settle the whole thing.
Mm.
That don't go to this place. This is your portion and everything is okay. But for Ukraine to insist on joining NATO, no, now nobody wants that for his family. It's not going to work. And I know Putin will not. Please, Nigerians should just keep their mouth shut about Putin. Don't go and join one side that is and be on the bad side of Putin. I don't think that's good for Nigeria at all.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. It's more like you saying that the whole Ukraine-Russian issue is a family issue. Like I was watching a documentary where someone was saying, if you listen to the names of both presidents, you see the similarity. Vladimir Putin and Zelensky Volodymyr.
Volodymyr.
You know?
Yeah.
And they actually drew attention to the fact that Donetsk and Luhansk have been controlled over time by, rebel leaders or so, and there has been some control of Russia of part of Ukraine, as it were. So it's more like a family affair, and people have been warned not to get involved in the whole issue. But would it be fair now if this family comes to me to say, okay, if I come to Swat's father now and say, Mr. Junior, my father, Ohamara, has rejected me. I want to join your family. Well, how fair would it be if Mr. Junior says, hey, my aunt Odell, go back to your father, and your father wants to, my father is about to kill me. How fair would that be? Yeah? I'm just asking that question based on the response of this caller who said NATO should reject Ukraine, as it
were. It's Geronimo from Adusi Alaji. The Russian-Ukrainian war is just a posturing by Putin to bait USA into a nuclear war, but I'm so glad it's not going as planned by him. The West is very united and obviously can see that Russia has missed her validation in all global institutions through the path they have chosen. May God have mercy on Putin and other Russian oligarchs supporting this war. No leader among the nuclear-stocked pile states can use a nuclear option, either strategic or tactical nukes. The nuke is just for deterrence.
Hmm. Okay. On the other hand, some people are actually saying that the U.S. have gone on attacks on Libya, Afghanistan, and the likes, and how come the Russian case is now becoming a big issue when it is just Ukraine that they have done an attack on. So various views there on the matter, but let's pick this call and find out what this person wants to say. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Ooh. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
It doesn't actually sound clear.
No, it's not clear. You can call us back.
Yes, please.
Sorry.
Call us back. Call us on 0700-951-0000.
All right. Good afternoon, Swat and Debbie. It says, there's something I don't understand here, please. Ukraine doesn't have right to join whatsoever, whoever they want to have an alliance with as a sovereign nation. If yes, please, why is Russia taking this too far till now?
Mm.
They should keep calm and allow Ukraine to do their thing as a nation, since they have separated as different entity. Emeka from NNPC Towers. There's a whole lot of dynamics. You know, it's not as simple as saying that, because a whole lot of people are saying that if Ukraine should join the NATO now, you know, you have the America military base, you know, at the border that Ukraine shares. And, of course, the border also has to protect our own interests and all of that, you know, our own sovereignty. So nobody will want to have the military base of the Americans just at their own backyard. So they want to do everything to protect that. But then your mind also goes back to the 60s, where something similar, when the U.S. invaded Cuba. I think Russia wanted to have this same sort of alliance back then, and you know, the U.S. had to invade Cuba, and something similar like this happened way back then. So every country, no country will just sit down, and the next country that they share borders with, and they're very, very close, when they see a threat of that nature, of course, you don't expect that they'll just fold their arms. And one of the ways that they get to react is what we're seeing Russia doing to Ukraine to deter that from happening, because we know the stance of Russia with the U.S., and they don't want that coming in to their own territory or to their own borders and threatening them and stuff like that. So
now, the essence of our discussion today isn't about our concern so much on what is happening in Russia or Ukraine, but how would, what lessons do we learn from this, and how prepared are we as a nation regarding eventuality? Okay, we got reports that before the crisis became a tough one, the U.S. did an airlifting of its citizens back in Ukraine. They took them back home, and for Nigeria, it wasn't so. In fact, plans became necessary when it seemed like, hey, this has become really, really imperative. So are we ready for such eventualities? Do people need to cry out for help, cry out, you know, so much before something is being done? Should there be no money set aside for issues like this? Do the president need to dish out some money, as the case may be, before the needful is done in that regard? And as a, when the issue escalated in Ukraine, we got to hear that the ambassador of Nigeria to Ukraine, as it put now, was in Nigeria and was not back in Ukraine, and he needed to do an addressing of Nigerians, you know, but he was here in Nigeria instead of in Ukraine, as the case may be. So how prepared are we? What are we learning from all of this? Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. This is Jamie Lenz from Zimbabwe.
Okay, welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, the team was here should be proactive. How do I think about the Nigerian nation all the way? The answer is never proactive. We are rather reactionary. We need for things to get out of hand before the government can begin to plan on what to do or what to do. I think
hello, A. Williams.
Maybe you may have to call back.
Yes, please. I think you have to call
back.
There's
someone here calling.
Hello.
Okay, don't know what's happening there.
Hello.
Yeah, hello, I can hear you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Swat and Debbie, good afternoon. My name is Engineer Femi.
Thanks for joining us.
Welcome.
Okay, I think the Ukrainian issue is a bit sensitive. On one hand, there is sovereign state. I don't care what story you have as Russia with NATO. Besides that, NATO didn't move close to you when you started invading Georgia. A sovereign state on their own. You invaded them like no man's business. You took over Crimea. And that's why that is when they started feeling, let's begin to watch for this guy. So, and Putin's comment is on slavery. I mean, even in his local TV station, it is censored. People are not allowed, his people in Russia come out to protest against the war. They don't want it. And they protest against their own president. Severally, you see police come and carry them and go and lock them up in jail, over 6,000 in a country. And then you say that, and then he comes out and calls this man a neo-Nazist, a drunkard, a drug addict, and all that their sovereignty is not approved. What is this? Are you the only person in the whole world? Are you, like, seriously? That is why you are now enduring, that is why Lithuania, and everybody along your borderline, even Poland, they quickly went to join EU so they can find a sense of security for themselves. You can't keep hunting people down and being a dictator. You've been there for over 20 years. The economy is not doing well. However, you can't come and say, dictate what the country should do or not do. If you are doing well, people would like to join you. After all, they have history with you in the past. But since you're not doing well, that's why they say no more. Let's stay somewhere else. See, the, even Finland now and Switzerland that are neutral, now they say they're going to join NATO and EU fully. Why? So they can prevent themselves from you. How can you, in this 21st century, be threatening a nation with a nuclear weapon?
Mm.
If it starts, and everybody starts declaring their nuclear weapon, yeah, would the world stay? Come on, you can't be a rogue nation now.
All
it's
right.
Not fair. That's not how to run a country. Dialogue should start it. Dialogue should end it.
Mm.
And then what we should learn from this as ECOMOG and AU is to begin to form a military body like NATO that can come against any state that goes into all these, they are cool here, cool there, Burkina Faso cool, Mali cool. They should go and invade those countries and take out those people and tell them that, oh, you don't do this here. When they do this, other countries will be scared of going, taking over. And it's dictatorship that comes with all this taking power by force that is causing this whole problem all over the world.
Mm.
We can't be sacrificing world peace on the table of one person feeling threatened. Threatened by who and by what? Did they invade anybody? They only invited people to join there. They ask you to join. You say you won't join. What's the problem?
Okay.
How many countries has the U.S. gone to overtake because they are their neighbor? You can't really live with peace with your neighbor and let them decide what they want to do. Are they not a sovereign state? Should you detect them? Should Ukraine go and invade you and say you shouldn't be alone, you should join NATO by force? I beg, let's have this thing in good mind.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, very much.
All right.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Maskman calling from Apple.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, on Nigerians who are there, who say they would rather fight there? That is a matter of choice. Those who want to come back home, let them come. When we talk of lessons, well, there are lessons to be learned that... Even as America was asking its people to leave, our own people leaders should have asked our people to leave too.
Mm.
Right now, America has asked its people to leave Russia. We are not saying anything. This is the time for us to ask our own people to leave Russia too. That aside, with the strength and might that Ukrainians are fighting, I think another lesson we should learn is...
Hello? Sorry, can you take that again? Can you take that again? You say another lesson we should learn is what?
The strength that unity, can produce among people, because Ukrainians are withstanding Russia today now because of unity. Most of them volunteered. Most of the men, they say they will not leave their country. They must fight and defend their land.
Mm.
Because of that, even those who are not trained, even teachers, even women, they volunteered. Everybody just doing one thing or the other to make sure if this Russia.
Hello. Okay. Hello.
Be very, very proactive. And then our people in Russia will have to come back now. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you so much for your contribution. I appreciate you. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, well, good afternoon to you.
Sorry, the voice is coming for the male, not for the female. Good afternoon.
It's okay.
Dear.
Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, this is Ben Johnson calling.
Let's talk.
Yeah, concerning the question you are asking, really, I want to tell you, I've studied the Nigeria. They always do things at the rush hour.
Mm.
And I understand that it's at the rush hour the leaders eat much money.
Mm.
Why did I say so? The leaders of Nigeria, you know that, yes, in every of the country in the world, Nigerians are there. Nigerian leaders are supposed to be the first people who are requesting for their citizens to come back. First, even before other countries start requesting their citizens to leave Ukraine. Mm. But since they know within themselves that, that it's at a rush hour they are going to eat much money, it is at a rush hour you hear them bringing much bill, that this is what we spend in bringing back our citizens back to the country. And that is why they are doing all these things. But I'm telling you, it is not the right thing. It is not the right thing. Our leaders are supposed to be putting their citizens at the back of their mind.
Mm.
They are supposed to stop all these things they are doing. Money is not everything. Money is not everything.
Mm.
The life of your citizen is your paramount priority. So that is what me I understand in the question you ask.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Hello. Okay. So sorry about that. Call me back if you can. We have this message here. This one says, good afternoon, Swat. It seems you are in support of Russia. Hence, this series of justification on how U.S. invaded Cuba when they cited alliance with Russia. Thank you. No, I do not. just what we have not supported anyone in this regard. Yeah, we have not.
He thinks I'm in support. If I support, it's not my right to support whoever I want to. I'm supporting Russia.
Okay, so let's pick this one now. Hello.
Hello.
Turn down the volume on your radio.
Your radio, please. Hello. To other callers, please, when you call, just ensure you turn down the volume of your radio set so that we get to hear you.
Okay.
So well, and then have a decent, proper conversation. This one said, America did not allow Russia to install nuclear weapons in Cuba, but find it okay to install their nuclear weapons in nations bordering around Russia, in addition to engaging in a unilateral war against other nations like Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, because they feel the government in place is an illegal one. Now again, they have romanticized with Ukraine, pushing it to the cliff of no return for Russia to pound on it. And I asked, do Americans and European countries who join her to go to war have monopoly of the use of force?
Hmm.
Let no one be deceived. All territories captured by Russia in Ukraine will not be relinquished again. Neme in Asokoro said so.
Okay, so let's pick up more calls here. Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
And regarding to the Ukraine and Russia, both these two countries want to most possible to protect their territory, to protect their citizens. I think the world should look into it to resolve their problem. We Nigeria, we here, we have some critical issues here that is called the foreigners from neighboring countries, went into our country, killing our people. Now, if there is an opportunity for me to produce lizards, just to know that I would go ahead to do it to protect my country, that is what we'll be planning for now in our country. We should go ahead to equip our intelligence company for them to have the best equipment so that to protect our territory. If I, Abubakar, have the opportunity now to manufacture missiles, I have the equipment, I will do it to protect my country.
Hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us. Your name and location.
Thank you. This is Mr. Ben.
Okay.
From Wuse.
Let's talk.
You see, what? You know, this war going on between Russia and Ukraine, I describe it as a blind war, blind invasion. You see, you know, from a look of things, Ukraine is not a threat to Russia in any way. And Russia have all the capabilities than Ukraine. And it surprised me when you say want to reduce Ukraine's capability. I was asked this capability. But, you know, you will see the outcome of this matter. Russia may come out being bruised. Because, and also NATO, it will give them more people, more power, more liberty to join NATO because of fear of Russia. Because see what is doing there, you know, damaging facilities and all that things. It's how to. What does he mean, sir? What does that man mean? I just said his mental capability.
What
is up to? No. I know what I mean. You know the loss, the lives that are being lost there. And see, he's sending arms there, ammunition to continue. Yes, I know what I mean. I know what, he's sending the whole world, thinking that he can destroy the world. He cannot do it. Yes, only God can decide it.
Oh.
Yes.
Thank you very much. So, the idea behind our conversation is what's the level of preparedness by Nigeria regarding eventuality? Before now, at least from 2009 or thereabouts, the incidence of Boko Haram wasn't there. It wasn't an issue. Insecurity wasn't an issue for Nigeria. It wasn't a major issue. Now, if the trickles or the bombings we noticed were tackled or whatever it is was nipped in the bud, wouldn't have gotten into the kind of emergency that we see today that has even grown into something else. Now we talk about banditry, insurgency, cessationist attacks here and there, right? So what's the level of preparedness by the government so far? Let's even assume an external, a country, a foreign country invades Nigeria. How ready are we?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, we say it's not our portion. There's no such probability. Which country will want to invade us? Why would they want to invade us? What do we have that they may want to take from us? You never can tell. Right, we've had issues of the peninsulas, and we've had struggles here and there over tiny things, land borders, crude and the like. So what would we be doing in that regard if something should occur? How ready are we to secure our citizens here in Nigeria? Now we have been struggling on how to send planes to go rescue those who are in Ukraine already. How safe are those who are at home at present? How safe are they? We still have the number of girls who are still in Chibok over there. We still cry over Leah Sharibu. We cry over those who are in the hands of kidnappers and the likes. We cry over the ritual killings that are, you know, on a daily basis increasing. So what have we done so far to ensure that we get ready for even the unimaginable issue that may arise tomorrow, taking a cue from what's going on in Ukraine and Russia?
0700-951-0000. Let's take on more callers. Hello.
Baby, I start. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
My name is Ogwey. I'm calling from Gwagwalada.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for the topic. And I'm really enjoying it in the sense that we Nigerians, we can always analyze another person's house very well. You see, everywhere, every part of the corner, people will be analyzing the nuclear power in Russia and the Ukraine. And for the idea of your program, I think you are being very, very smart in playing this. And in my own thoughts, I think there's no any other way of invading any country other than the way.
Oh, I wish you had made your point. Hello. Sorry about that. Hello. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. My name is Gigi. Good afternoon, the lady there.
Welcome.
You have asked a very important question. How prepared are we for war? There are war within, there are war without. What has happened in recent times show that Nigeria we did not prepare for war. And you don't prepare for war during the war.
Mm-hmm.
You prepare for war in the time of peace, underline peace.
Exactly.
Sometimes people say there is peace in our country. Don't just hold your arm. Prepare for eventuality. Look at the strength of our military. They are not up to 1 million. Both Navy, both soldier, what they call it, the Air Force or something. Even with the police, maybe a little bit about 1 million. That to govern and protect 400 million people, it shows we are not prepared for war. Look at what, look that how the Boko Haram get out of hand. It was because we don't have enough ammunition, we don't have enough personnel to get the Houthi. We did not prepare for all these things because when it was happening in Libya, when Libya was in trouble, we pulled our arms. Without knowing that between Libya and Nigeria, it was the day that separates us. And Nigeria itself does not have a government.
Mm.
So I'm saying that when governments or leaders do not look at Iran, they look, even though we have surplus, we are in a war, we are something, how prepared are we? Let me tell you, Russia has prepared for food and money they will spend for the next 3 years if this war continues. They will not finish. Russia has made sure that all that they use, about 90% are produced in Russia. Is it the same thing in Nigeria? If they close our border for the next three months,
You see, Gbenga has made effort to actually respond to the question we are asking. How prepare we in this regard in the case of eventuality? What would you do? If we are to go into a war now, okay, like the Uromi case, it was the name Uromi I was trying to remember. We saw videos captured of soldiers who were hiding from bullets, you know. Those guys came with grenades. And how ready are the army? What about backups in that regard? How far are these backups? What about communication? How ready or easily available easily accessible are the heads in military formations? Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Yeah. Matt, I am back again. This is an interesting topic you've introduced again. This is John from Kubwa.
Okay.
Speaking.
Let's talk.
Yeah. You see, you have almost in your introduction, you have almost answered your question. Take a look at our own internal aggression here. As with Boko Haram, insurgents, banditry, and the rest of them. Now, as you can see, that we cannot even cope with the travail of the ammunition these people are using against the Nigerian state. Just take a look at it. Now, how much more another country who are probably well prepared in the art of weaponry and the rest of them, those of them who can manufacture their own? So, as we cannot even manufacture a single barrel. We cannot even manufacture them in the quantity that is expected. Talk more of the sophisticated weapons used for this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
In short, I don't want us to waste time. We are not prepared. Since we cannot even get away with the internal aggression we are having with the people up to this moment. How many years now are we talking about Boko Haram, banditry, insurgents? We cannot get away. Then you're now asking me how prepared. We are not prepared.
Okay.
We are not prepared, my brother. Let us not just deceive ourselves. There's no room for this deceit again. We are treated naked. It's all over.
All right.
All the things we do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Not prepared. But I pray that such a thing should not be followed. That's just the only thing I can tell you at this point in time. Thank you very much for your program. Go ahead.
I appreciate you. Now, the thing is, aside weaponry and other methods of preparation, can we talk about loyalty? How many people are still loyal to Nigeria? Just like we hear people here saying, okay, they want to go to Ukraine and stand with the Ukrainian president and fight. I saw it on Facebook and I laughed. And I'm like, okay, you're ready to leave Nigeria and go fight with the Ukrainian president. How many people would be ready to fight for our president, Muhammadu Buhari, if he is ready to pick up weapons now and say he wants to fight? How many people will fight? Well, how loyal?
You know me, Johnny Jara. Let me tell us people are waiting here.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon to you. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, good afternoon. We can hear you.
I've been laughing along. My name is Emmanuel Aduka. I'm calling from
Luke. Welcome, brother.
I don't know whether this is your question is a rhetorical question or just for comic relief.
No.
Nigeria, we are not prepared for anything. Let me tell you, the only thing we are prepared for or we know how to do is to run to church and run to mosque and be shouting. That's the only thing we know how to do when we have issues or eventualities. Nigeria, look from left, right, center. We're not prepared for anything at all. Not even war, we're not talking about like external aggression. Are we prepared for anything? Is there anything that, if a house, maybe there's an issue where a house catches fire now and you're waiting for fire service. to come and put out the fire. Will you ever see them? Oh, see, there's no water. There's no fuel in the vehicle. See, these are simple things. These are things that we have as a problem with us as Nigerians. Is it the issue of the external aggression? Let's leave that aside. Is it the issue of loyalty? Where we have people, with military people, we've had reports of them colluding with enemies of the state, terrorists to come and invade Nigeria. I mean, come on, come on. We have a lot of attitudinal change that we must encounter before we start talking about. But we don't need to, we're already fighting ourselves here. We're not ready.
All right.
You are not ready. Have a lovely day.
And you too. Thank you for your response. Let's go. Hello. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
This is Mike.
Say your name again, please.
Mike, where was that?
Okay, Mike, thanks for joining us. Let's talk.
Yeah. I don't think we are ready. At one time, I'm caution. Because it's a secret habit. There's no training. See, when they provide the people training, we don't know where they're going to be. So, even when I was trying to come back, I said, okay, now we didn't really care about it. So, we are part of the process.
Okay.
I have a long way to go. Once you know how to do it, then maybe you can start the pattern. Get up from now. Okay. This is the problem. The cover and the.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I have to let you go. You kind of sound faint. Can you hear him? We have to let you go at this point. Yeah, a lot of people have responded that we are not ready. But can we add that up, make it fleshier by contributing what and what we should do to... Swadra, are you smiling?
No,
to a certain readiness. Yes, so it's glaring. Yes, so what do we... Not for war per se, but for eventuality.
Oh, okay.
It may be famine. It may be hunger. Mm-hmm. It may be distress. It may be people going out to sell and no country is buying from us. Mm-hmm. Will we be ready to, you know, purchase from us, as the case may be? It may be the fact that there may be no importation of drugs tomorrow. Will we be ready to, you know, would our pharmaceutical industry be able to, you know, feed the various hospitals we have and the demand of drugs, as the case may be? How ready are we? Aside from war now, war was an instance. Generally, our textile industries, can they give us the kind of fabrics that we have enjoyed because we can easily import fabrics, we can import clothing? This is the question we are asking. Give us solutions. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
You're welcome, Majesty. Maybe.